particular in the bulletin as far as announcements go that I need to bring to your attention this morning. I do wish, however, to comment on the fact that even though we are not commemorating the feast, today is the feast of St. Joachim and Anne. The Sunday takes precedence, therefore, and the feast is not made reference to because of the Sunday. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Make an accounting of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer. My beloved people, we have a very definite relationship that we have to foster between ourselves and God. We must be very careful that this relationship is good and that this relationship is proper, and that we understand what it means for us to be followers of Christ. If we are truly followers of Christ, then there should be some reflection in us that would indicate the presence of Christ in us, and that there is not in us any stiff-neckedness that would demonstrate that Christ, if we are a reflection of him, is not himself a stiff-necked. When we come to the monastery, we're told that our reason for coming there must be to seek God. And this is imperative, that the monk or the nun seek God. Of course, in the right way and for the right reason. But does that exclude this obligation from being on the shoulders of every man and woman, wherever they are? After all, why did God make any one of us? And as we know ourselves, what is the real difference between a monk and a nun and a man and a woman in the world? There is no difference except that the monk and the nun do what? They promise by vow to do what everybody has to do anyway. But we misrepresent this seeking of God, and we turn it into something that is really not there. I think sometimes that some of the people that come into monasteries and convents have the feeling that they are going to enter into an existence, artificial, an existence of where they will be seeking God all the time and every time, almost like it was some kind of a giant, never-ending Easter egg hunt, where you go about hunting and seeking and looking under this bush, under that bush, in the flower bed, and our whole existence is hunting, and our focus is on this hunting God, and we think that because we are actually in the process of hunting that all is well with us. Not so. We're so busy hunting that we forget to hunt in the right place. And where is the right place? Inside of me. That's where the hunt begins. And what do I look for in this hunt that is inside of me? To begin with, I have to look for pride. I have to look for envy. I have to look for jealousy. I have to look for anger. I have to look for impatience. I have to look for deceitfulness. I have to look for self-righteousness. And the list could go on and on and on. And as I look for these things to destroy them, hopefully, something has to be placed or replaced, these things that we do away with. And when we destroy pride, we must replace it with humility. When we destroy anger, we must replace it with meekness. And it is these, actually, that we are looking for. And unless and until we can put into ourselves these virtues that we speak of, that is where we go and find and seek God. Not until these things have been some done away with and the other replaced, is God going to be anywhere to be found. This is what we mean by seeking God. It isn't a matter of us running around in some kind of a fantasy world. As we said last Sunday, when we were talking about St. Mary Magdalene, we must go about and discover. We must discover what it is that we have to do in order to save our souls. And in that discovery, we meet up face to face with the reality of just exactly what we are. We keep going back, and we will continue to go back time after time after time to the temple where two men went up into the temple to pray. Which one of these are we? And today's gospel, you know, sometimes we make arrangements, we think we do, as this man here did. He made arrangements. He was going to protect himself. And so he arranged his arrangements in order that he would not be out in the cold, but that they would receive him into their houses later when he was down and out. We must first of all be honest with ourselves. We must understand and comprehend that within ourselves is a demon. We have to acknowledge the fact that there is this demon in us. And when we look into the mirror, we must not put ourselves down and consider ourselves to be vermin, because we're not. The fact that we may be weak, the fact that we may fall, Mary Magdalene fell, But she didn't look upon herself as a demon or as vermin. She looked at herself, as she really was. And she saw herself as she really was. And as we said last Sunday, she made a decision. It was an honest decision. And the decision was to look at herself as she really was, and that she would do something about it. There was no dilly-dallying. She made no friends with anyone. And as she went out of that house, what was told her, imprinted upon her, to go out and not to sin anymore. That was it. And her decision was definite, was clear-cut, and effective. I really think that even though we may not look at ourselves squarely in the face, in the mirror, I think that some of us, or maybe all of us for that matter, myself certainly, have a tendency to acknowledge privately that we have this and that thing to do yet in life. But we have a tendency perhaps to maybe go and seek a carpet or a rug someplace, and we cover this up, hopefully that it will be covered in the eyes of Almighty God as well, and that eventually, given enough time, we will maybe do something about it when we get time later on in life. The activity, my beloved people, begins right here, right now. It is not for tomorrow or the day after. Or as soon as I finish this project, I will start. Or as soon as my vacation is over, I will begin. Or when I get my new job, I will more or less organize myself and start the program. Not so. It is to begin right now. And to make it more clear, and this particularly in these days of achievement, orientation, do we put the cart before the horse or the horse before the cart? Is our life organized in such a way that our material activity is determined by our religious inclination or devotion? Or is our religious activity determined by our work ethic? Which determines which? And in order to get a better job, perhaps, one that makes more money for me, is that determined, or has my religious inclination got anything to do with my selection of that particular work? Did I come here to get a better job? Or was it rather, I didn't come here on my own. Was I put here, rather? Was I put here to get the best job there is to be gotten? Or was I put here to save my soul? Now, I'm not taking, please don't misunderstand me and get the impression that I'm telling you should all be monks and nuns. I'm not saying that at all. If you have a family, you have an obligation to provide for that family. Yes, this is first and foremost after religion, of course. This is important. And we can't sit back and do nothing and wait for something, for some great bonanza to come fall in our lap. It doesn't work that way. We have to provide for our families and give our families something decent. At the same time, however, we should not put the emphasis entirely on the part of earning more than what is really necessary. Our problem today is it's a problem of taste. Our tastes are too high geared. We want too much. We want everything to be gold-plated. Nothing is really good enough for us. And sometimes in order to be able to accumulate these things that are not good enough for us, we really have to go out and go for it. We must remember that the center of our lives must be our religious obligation. And around that, everything else must be built. Otherwise, we are just like this man here, who went out and made friends before it was too late. So my beloved people, as we progress speedily, and it is speedily done, time, have you noticed how time seems to be going by a lot faster these days than it was once upon? And it's all right for us older ones to notice that. But you know, children are beginning to notice that today. Have you seen that? The time is really flying. Everything seems to be in a hurry to get someplace. And here we are, lollygagging around, thinking of things that really have no importance in God's scheme and plan. Let us, as we are in this fast lane traveling today, let us not forget our responsibilities of why did God make me? To know Him, to love Him, to serve Him. For what? To be with Him forever. In eternity. That's all. It's as simple as that. And anything that in any way is outside of that simple plan is wrong. Understood properly, of course. Do not let literalism enter in your lives. Remember, it was literalism that gave birth to Protestantism. God is not to be considered something literal. So, pray much, sin not, or try not to sin as best you can. When you fall, we all fall. Let us have the humility enough to say, I'm sorry. It is my fault. It's not my neighbor's fault. When we say the Confiteor, we say through my fault. We don't say through his fault. I am the one who offended. And nobody can make me sin. The only reason why I sin is because I chose to do so. my beloved people.